You are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games, also the people who play them. My name is Ran Aviram.
And my name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello!
And today we'll discuss all of those times where you don't actually get to play role-playing games, everything that happens between the sessions. This is, of course, a campaign-focused episode, but not necessarily a GM-focused episode. In fact, most of the things we'll discuss, I think, are player-facing.
Now, don't get me wrong. Gaming sessions are great. Gaming sessions are the best. Gaming sessions are also very, very far apart, at least for me. If I play a weekly game, then there's a whole week between one gaming session and the next, and that is a lot for me. So I find ways to fill the excruciating gaps between the gaming session.
So I would like to start with one of the things that we've discussed several times before, but probably never actually at length, weekly questions. It's something that we've said as far back as episode 6, retaining player attention. It was an episode that was all about keeping a player attention throughout the entire campaign, and that also meant between sessions. And we've brought weekly questions as one of the ways to return attention, but I'm not sure if we actually talked all about what it actually is. Now, I've written two articles about it, one with everything I have to say about weekly questions and one with all sorts of examples of how to write it and what you can do with it. So we'll give links in the show notes. And instead, right here and right now, we'll just go very briefly about what is actually the thing. One of the players or the GM give a question after the session. The question should be something that is easy. You don't have to sit down and think a lot about it, but you can if you want to. And the reason is you want everyone to feel like they can answer it, but not necessarily must answer it, and don't have to be verbose and answering with three pages. Questions can be used to just keep attention, to just keep us interested and make sure that things are fun and cool between sessions, like tell us of something interesting that happened off screen in the last session, or between that scene and that scene in the last session, tell us of something cool that happened between the characters or to your character when we were all on the boat or something like that. And that's an excellent way to, not exactly roleplay, but have some of that session still in our hearts, still remember it, still think about it, still talk about it when we reply to each other in the email. But it can also be used for something much grander, like, for example, when you want to extrapolate on the backstory of the characters, and you can ask, what is your childhood fear, and how does that come into play during the campaign, or anything like it. You can go very far with weekly questions. However, if no one answers it, then it's not useful. So it's really important, again, not only to keep them optional, but also to lead by example and answer your own question and show that it's possible. It's also a great thing, by the way, to try and answer it before you actually send it, at least to yourself, so you'll see if it's a question that actually works. Like a question like, what is your biggest fear? It's fine, but usually
It's broad.
It's broad, exactly. It's too broad. You should probably ask about something specific like, what is the most fearful thing about the enemy we are facing? Or what is the thing that you find most frightening when you think about the future? Or something like that. Something more specific, because you want to help the others answer it. You want to give them some sort of channel to swim through and get to an answer.
This should be a spark of creativity rather than a burden to think about.
Exactly.
And I would, again, emphasize something you said, Ran. This is not the GM's job.
Oh, no.
This is something that everyone in the group can take on themselves and just send the question week after week.
Exactly. And this connects with the second thing I have to say about it, which is give a little intro. That is, present the question. Don't just ask, don't just post a sentence with a question mark at the end to everyone in your mailing list. Give a little intro, explain a bit what is going on. Make sure that you are a bit of a storyteller. Last time on the session, we encountered this funny little chap in the rowing boat. What do you think about that chap? Again, no, that's way too broad. What did you hate about this chap? That's much better.
Everything.
Again, I'll give an example for things you can do with the weekly questions in the show notes. There'll be a link. I just want to add an interesting weekly question that I gave a few weeks back. I asked the players when they were coming to face a candy pirate, who are his lieutenants? And they answered, and they gave me the lieutenants for the next session. And that was great. Very helpful for everyone.
Yeah, we would like to remind the GMs out there that your biggest and most useful resource is your players. Use them wisely.
Now, another really useful resource is everything in the world. Something that I really recommend about doing between sessions is consume genre-related content. That comes from an advice I read for the first time in Dungeon World, where they say, fill your head with fantasy. And I completely agree with it. Just watch, read, play video games, everything that is related to the sort of genre, sort of game that you are currently in. It will give you ideas. It will give you all sorts of themes that you can bring into your game. It will give you examples of characters that you might want to maybe emulate in some ways in your own character, or you will want to maybe create for the players to meet or incorporate into your backstory if you're a player. There's a lot that happens in your head without you realizing it after and during the time you consume content. So have it in there. Push it into your mind. It's fun in any case, and it will be useful to your game, even if not specifically the next session.
And another great aspect of, you know, consuming genre-related content is that you can share that experience with other players. When I started reading Drew Hayes, I can't remember which book, I mentioned to the other people in the party, hey, I'm reading this awesome book and some characters really resonate with some of the characters in our game. You might want to read that as well. And then we had a lot of amazing discussion within the group, and that influenced our game in quite a bit.
My third and last suggestion is to fill in details. And this connects directly to our previous episode, Taking Notes, in which we suggested that the entire party, mostly the players, maybe the GM as well, but mostly players, write down in a shared Google Doc everything that happened in the last session, as far as they remember, from the point of view that they remember, and whatever it is that they deem worthy and interesting. So just filling in the details, just putting this information into the doc is really a great thing to do between sessions. However, a lot of players might find it time-consuming compared to the other suggestions from before. I mean, answering a weekly question might take a while, but it's a creative endeavor. You create something new, and for a lot of players, it's a lot more fun than writing down things that already happened. So filling in details can also be done in a very simple, straightforward way when you talk about it in a Facebook group, in your private Facebook group, or in your WhatsApp group, and you just reminisce on things that happen and just talk about them. It's not exactly filling in this case. It's more like reminiscing and remembering the cool stuff that happens, but that's fine. That's great. If that works for you, and then go for it. It's much better than not doing it and just forgetting about a game for an entire week or 2 weeks even.
These are all amazing ideas, but I would actually suggest to take it a step further. I say create. If you are artistically inclined in any way whatsoever, you can always create fan art for your campaign. Now, for me, I dabble in writing, so that's my shtick, and I would oftentimes write either short stories about events that happened during the game, or short stories about backstories of my characters or other characters, or I would imagine all sorts of interaction between my character and NPCs from the campaign and write them. Now, for the last few years, I've been playing a bard, so you can imagine that most of my stories have an erotic tinge to them. But leaving that aside, it's still a lot of world building, a lot of interaction, a lot of stuff that allow you to keep the campaign very fresh in your mind, and it's oftentimes fun for the rest of the party to read. Now, if you know how to draw, you can make character portraits for the other characters or for NPCs or for funny scenes. When me and Ran were playing together way back when, we had the amazing Aviv Or in the group, and she would do character portraits and amazing paintings of scenes and memorable moments. But even if you're not an artist of some kind, you can still do a lot. I think like a dozen years back, I created a mock in-game newspaper that reported events in the game. Now, that didn't really require talent. It required going on Google, writing down mock newspaper, get yes, a template,
exactly,
and fill in the headlines.
And you know what can be a lot of fun with it? After you do it like two or three times, the GM contacts you in secret, apart from the other players, give you some information and says, put this in, it'll be awesome. And it, in a way, uses you to foreshadow things that happen later.
Back in the day, it used to take so much time and effort, and it didn't look so good. And nowadays, you have all these online resources. You can simply create a fake news site. You
can right,
do
yeah,
so good much. Point. And it's so much fun. You can, you know, even mentioned like in a side panel, mysterious fire near the town of Hazelbrook, which is, of course, very funny for everyone in your campaign who knows that you fought a fire elemental and, you know, just a nice inside joke. But you can even go further than that. You can write a poem if you're artistically inclined, you can compose a song and play it during one of the gaming sessions. You can even brew your own homemade beer and label that for the game. I mean, I haven't went there, but that would be awesome.
Yes. Of course, you can create snacks. You can research. This is something that we discussed just two episodes ago. But you can create snacks. You can research a bit about the sort of cultures or whatever it is, heritages that you came from, your character came from, the party is currently visiting, whatever, and create something to eat in the next session.
I mentioned brewing a new kind of beer. You don't need to go to that link. You can simply go on Google, type beer label and fill in the details of the beer label and simply print it on top of an existing really nice beer. Moving on to my next ideas, to invest the time and effort needed to enhance your game, your actual game. And this is such a broad spectrum, so let me just throw out examples of some ideas that I did in the last year or so to get my point across. For example, you can take your time to find and print high-quality maps fitting for your campaign. Now, again, even if you're not the campaign, we're currently playing Curse of the Crimson Throne. It's a Pathfinder adventure. And I simply went and bought a map folio, and I went to a store, and I printed really big, high-quality maps just so we'll have something to fiddle with when we're playing. And again, this is not something that GM did. This is me as a player wanting to improve my game. You can create a wiki page for your campaign and keep it updated. I'm saying a wiki page, but it can be one of many, many online tools, or it can be a simply Google Doc like we mentioned in the previous episode. Simply create one and get the ball rolling, or get the other players to join in on that. You can also take the time and create customized character sheets for your campaign. Again, doesn't require a lot of work. Basically, copy-paste the existing character sheet for whatever gaming system you're using and add the logo at the top, or change the colors to fit the color scheme that is prominent on your campaign, or create four or five copies with color schemes fitting for each character in the party. In the current campaign that I'm running, I invested the amazing amount of $15 about 5 years ago for Fiverr. I ordered a logo just for the campaign. And that logo has served me faithfully for 5 years, again, for $15. Customize everything by taking a character sheet and putting the logo on it, and everyone feel a little bit more special playing in this specific group, in this specific campaign. You can also take the time and create a cinematic opening sequence for your campaign. Now, I know it sounds like a really complicated thing, but I did it in 2 hours with PowerPoint, which sounds kind of absurd, but it looks amazing. All you need to do is take a few PowerPoint slides, paste images of the characters, add some animation, and export that as a video. Mm. And voila, you have an opening sequence for your campaign.
The problem with an opening sequence, I think, and with the logo as well, is that you create it once, and then you don't create it again between sessions. And now as I'm saying it, I remember that actually I had to recreate an opening sequence mm-hmm. again and again, sometimes even after every session when even minute things changes and I wanted to just have a new episode title or I wanted to change some art of the characters. Oh, right. Right.
Yep. In the campaign that I'm running, I have an opening title and I change the title of the next session every time, which get the players really interested because... First of all, everyone's are interested because they're seeing their characters. Yeah, my character, yay! And then at the end, everyone falls silent because there's the title of this coming session. And, you know, you're already around the table and you're already about to start. And this title usually give context and meaning to set expectation for what happened. For example, if in the previous sessions they were about to enter this weird dungeon-like maze at the middle of town... And this week's session is titled Blood of the Undead. It gives you a sort of, you know, different feel to it than if the title would be Adventures Underground! Yay! Etc. Now, another suggestion, I'm going to break it down to a few subcategories, is to take the time between gaming sessions to expand on in-game events that you most likely glossed over during the actual gaming session. Session time is expensive. It's one of the most expensive resources that I think we have as role players. Because time is, you know, it's the ultimate resource. You can't get it back, and whenever you waste it, it's gone. And the time that all of us, all the party, are around the table, whether it's a virtual gaming table or an actual physical table, is precious. So we don't want to waste it. And a lot of time we would gloss over events in order to facilitate the game and to propel the game forward. So a lot of things get thrown aside. A lot of things start at the gaming table and then, okay, you know, we're moving on. And one of the most important things that get thrown aside for me is interaction between characters. And notice that I said between characters and not between player characters or between non-player characters. One such type of interaction would be the long discussions that you can imagine about good and evil between the party kind oracle and the swashbuckler from the devil worshipping kingdom from across the sea. A true story. Or the really deep conversation about the relationship between the immortal diva cleric and the young drow rogue, for example. Again, an actual example about a really nice conversation that me and another player wanted to have, but it never came up because the time at the table was so expensive, was so treasured. So we simply took the time, create a WhatsApp group, talk as our characters and had the discussion in play off the time of the session. Because so many of these conversations start at the table but don't continue. Because like I said, ain't nobody got time for that. Okay, you can do that between your character and some non-player character played by the GM. You can also do that simply with another player. Say, dude, my character would really love to try and convert your character to the one true fate of killing gnomes. Would you be interested in having that conversation? Or shall we just roll a die and see how it went? And perhaps the other player will surprise you saying, whoa, that sounds really interesting. Let's talk about that. And who knows? Maybe you'll start the next gaming session with the both of you looking for gnomes to kill. What a bonding experience. And I'm going to give another example, kind of the opposite of that, and that is shopping and downtime.
Yes, that's definitely something that should be done between sessions.
Yeah, for shopping, we agreed in pretty much every campaign that I ever been to that we basically say, okay, so now there's a day of shopping and all the characters buy whatever they want. Everyone, email what you want to buy to the GM for approval, and simply we're going to start the next session with those items. We're not going to spend our precious time haggling over prices or whatever. And also, if you have actual downtime, why not play it on your downtime between sessions? I mean, we all know the point in the gaming session where the GM says something like, okay, two pleasant weeks have passed in Dwarfbarf. Where would you like to go next? And one of the player would say something like,
anywhere well, that's I not wanna... Dwarfbarf.
It's a good point. And some other player would say, well, I want to use that time to learn about ancient beer-making techniques, since Dwarfbarf is famous for that. And the GM would simply say, okay, and move on, because you all want to move on and not stay in Dwarfbarf, where it's like literally the worst place you can be at certain time of the year, especially during the festival where all the dwarves gather and barf. Never mind.
Never mind.
But, but if that player showed genuine interest in ancient beer-making technique, why not actually play that downtime? Not during your time around the table, because that would simply be a few players looking at the GM talking with one single player. But it would be awesome for the GM to simply do a one-on-one session with the specific players, or they could simply exchange a few notes. Or, amazingly enough, the GM could say, you know what? Make that up. Write down the ancient beer-making technique that you have learned in Dwarfbarf. Give it to me so I can go over and make sure you didn't ruin all the lore of my world. And then we can continue playing, and that would be amazing. So you use the time in between session to enhance the immersive experience, to enhance the world, to create more interesting world and characters and stories for your game. Whew! Whoa, I've spoken a lot in a very short amount of time.
Do we have anything else to add about all of this?
Yeah, you should close your eyes now. Think about basically everything we said in the last probably 30 to 40 minutes. Pick one thing and do that for your next gaming session. Just one thing. That's how you get things done. You go over 5 or 10 or 100 good ideas, you pick one, and you say, I'm going to do this for my next gaming session. So think whether you want to send a weekly question, if you want to consume some genre-related content, if you want to create something artistic for the campaign, to invest some time and effort to enhance the campaign, or to simply take an event from your previous session and expand it in your downtime, be it an interaction between character, a shopping expedition, or simply the downtime that you glossed over. Pick one and go for it. The only one who can make your game even more awesome than it is pretty much you and the other people at the table. So be the person who make your game more awesome.
And now it is time to take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk a bit about role-playing games in our personal lives, but I fear that not Uri nor I have managed to play this past week. However, I did manage to do some other things. I, for example, sent out the Crystal Heart PDF for our backers, and it will be available for everyone else within a week or two as a PDF. Again, the printed version is in the future. It's really damn good, and now I can say it because other people are saying it as well, so it's not just me declaring it. It's a great book for Savage Worlds, but of course it's going to be used with other systems as well if you are so inclined. But I've also played some stuff, not role-playing games, video games, but they were great. One of them was Pyre. Now, Pyre is, I don't want to say old, but it is about, I think, a year or 2 years at least since it came out. And it's from the same creator, Supergiant Games, of Bastion, which is an amazing game, and Transistor, which is a pretty good game. Pyre is a really good game. It's brilliant, and not because of the mechanics of it, which are fine. The main point of Pyre is that you are sort of playing a holy ritualistic basketball sort of game.
Wait, what?
I won't get into details. It's complicated, but the important thing about Pyre is actually a bit of a mini spoiler, which I won't get into because of it, but it's very powerful, emotional thing that happens throughout the game several times, and it happens, again, not because of any game mechanics, it happens because of narrative decisions, and that's very interesting and can be used in role-playing games. Generally speaking, you have a cast of characters, they are all awesome, you get to interact with them and also use them in the game itself, in the part of the holy ball section, each of them is their own thing. And because you actually use them and play as them, you're also, you connect with them. So they mean something to you. You won thanks to them. And the game again and again emphasizes this by, for example, the announcer calling out their names as they are doing it. It's not you who got the ball into the flame. It was Rookie, for example. Rookie got the ball into the flame. And that's important. And that's a technique. It's something that we can use as well. And then after we created such an important bond between us, they go away. I don't want to explain how or why, because it's important, but there are important, powerful decisions that are, in the end of the game, expressed in vibrant, powerful ways. And that's something that can be stolen wholeheartedly into your game. It's something that a GM can do with the players and that player can plan for with their NPCs around them, NPCs from the backstories, etc. Do play Pyre. I think you will very much enjoy it.
That sounds awesome.
Yes, play it on the lowest difficulty level if you don't like the game part, the ball part. I liked it. I thought it was pretty fun. It's not great, but it's pretty fun. And I enjoyed it on a normal level. Also, losing is important. Losing is not the end of it. You don't have to replay a match if you failed it. The fact that you failed it means the story will go in a different way. And that's, again, something that you should really learn from for your games.
That's a very good point. I have a friend who used to play the Mass Effect computer game. And he would not enjoy the combat. And this is a first-person shooter.
Ooh,
it has
yes.
a lot of you know, actual combat. So he would simply put down the difficulty setting to the lowest level and breeze through the fighting sections in
sure.
order to get the world building and the fun part of character interaction.
For sure. That's something that Aviv Manoach, our third dwarf, does all the time with a lot of games. And it's also something that I do on occasion when I find that a game is maybe takes too long and I just want to go through it. Then even if I find the interaction is fun, as long as it's not great, maybe I can
just waste your time.
Yeah, exactly. I can lower it to the minimum and just browse through it and let's end it and continue.
And skip the grinding section,
yeah.
for example. Now, I did not play this week because I had a session that was canceled, and I am fully swamped because I'm doing rehearsal for a play that we're going to put up in 2 months in the Icon Festival. It's Israel's biggest sci-fi and fantasy festival. And we're doing this play, which is a choose-your-own-adventure play, meaning there are actors on stage, and people from the audience are selected to go on stage and make choices that change how the play continues. It's quite literally like Choose Your Own Adventure, because you get on stage and there's a big screen telling you your lines, and then you get like 4 options. You know, you face in front of the evil Baron. What will you do? Option 1, you can attack the Baron. Option 2, you can open the door. Option 3, you can use the magical charm given to you by the witch. Or option 4, run away screaming.
Now, just people at home that are listening to this and haven't seen the previous productions in Icon in Israel in previous years, this is just as amazing and mind-blowing as you think it is. It's funny, it's clever, it's very well produced, with a lot of actors and a lot of details and a lot of story. And it's I'm really looking forward to the next one.
This is the third one in this specific story narrative structure of Choose Your Own Adventure. I'm reprising my role from the first two as the storyteller, the person who is actually getting the people up, narrating pretty much everything that's happening, etc. And maybe we'll add a link in the show notes. It's in Hebrew, so you won't understand, but I think it's really, really nice to see how such a production works. You know, all the technology that goes into it to actually display all the option and text for the volunteer from the audience, etc. And what happened during the last week and a half is that we did a lot of character work. The director sat with me and other players and simply talked about our characters. You know, what's your motivation? Where do you come from? And in this specific production, most characters are actual embodiment of cities. You know, there's a player playing the city spirit of Tokyo. There's another player playing the city spirit of London, etc. So it was kind of a mixed history lesson and, you know, character work, basic character notes of what your motivation, what do you want to happen, how do you go about doing things, etc. And it's constantly amazes me the parts where I have bleed over between theater and roleplay. Because this could be an amazing thing to sit down with one of your players and say, okay, so this is your character. Tell me about your character. What's the motivation of your character? Where does your character come from? What's the hammer that your player see every problem as the proverbial nail to hit with that hammer? And these are amazing questions that really bring you into the mindset of a character. So I would highly recommend to everyone to simply sit down and write, what's my character motivation? What is it that I wish to achieve? What is it that stopped me from achieving it? What's my internal conflict that stopped me? What's my external conflict that stopped me? Where is my place in the world? Where am I located in the social hierarchy of this town or kingdom or ragtag group of banded adventurers?
Okay, and with this we shall end the episode. If you want to let this never end and instead continue on, then between the episodes you can send us an email to show@dwarfcast.net. You can also check us out on Twitter and on Facebook, and there's a Patreon. You can check in on patreon.com/dwarfpodcast if you're so inclined. And you can also check us on any podcast platform, I think, probably in the multiverse, and give us a rating there. That's it. Thank you.
Seriously, what would help the most is simply to recommend us to other people, either on social media or in person. People listening to this podcast is the fuel that gives us energy to create and maintain this podcast.
Indeed. And now we shall say goodbye.
Later! Later!
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by Attribution Non-Commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Duo, and you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.